Lord, you are so good. We thank you, Lord, that your goodness is with us all the time. We thank you, Lord, that the ultimate of your goodness can be seen in Jesus Christ, in his ministry, in the way that he relates to others, and ultimately in his journey towards the cross and Easter, and now being present with us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us, lead us, speak to us, and continue to guide us, we ask. And all the people said together, amen, amen, amen. Every year, for the last 13 or so years, I have left the North Island and I have headed to the South Island. I throw everything in the back of a ute, usually take someone else with us. This year I had the privilege of taking my oldest son. It's usually at the end of March, the beginning of April, and I end up in the Southern Alps somewhere for close to a week to 10 days. We get flown in on a helicopter. And for me, it is a place of renewal. It's a place of relaxation. It's a place of recreation. I've been to two or three different places, but for the last 5 years, I've always gone to the same place. Where we land, it's physically demanding. It's also psychologically demanding. We fly in on a helicopter, and then the very first thing we do when we land is we find a place to camp and put up our tents. And here is a picture of this year's one. You can see two tents. Can you see that? Two tents there. That's my son. And then we set up a kind of communal place. But it's the very first thing we do. We get it sorted. We're up on the tussocks in the Southern Alps. We're more in the southern Marlborough area. Tents are communal space. We will put the billy on after we've put our tents on. We'll have a coffee. We'll set up our chairs, as you see. We blow up our little thin mattresses. We get our sleeping bags out and puff them all up, sort of things. So we create this space to come back to after a big day. And what we do is we're creating a home for that week. And it is amazing how quickly that those places there become our home, becomes our shelter, becomes our comfort, becomes our warmth, becomes our security. And as I mentioned, this was Camp 2026. It was also Camp 2025. It was also Camp 2024. We have tentatively in our imagination explored, wonder if we could get a mobile home up there. But it never ceases to amaze me how quickly this place becomes our home. And after a day out, so what we'll generally do, the rhythm is this. We get up in the morning, usually while it's still dark. We'll have a coffee, we'll have some breakfast, and then we'll head out for the day. Often at times we will separate. One will go one direction, one will go the other direction. And as soon as you move away from camp, you start thinking, now, where is home? What direction are we going in? If I have to get back in a hurry, where do I go? We mark camp pretty quickly on our GPS because there's something that's called clag. You understand clag. You call it fog in Hamilton. You're probably more aware of it than I am. Because there are times when they can have whiteouts out there and you've lost all sense of direction. But it's funny how we come back to that place even after a day, and as soon as you come back, you take your packs off or whatever you're carrying. It's like a breath of fresh air. It's feeling like, wow, I feel secure. Man, if you get a 80K wind going there, you're not going to be very secure, but you do feel secure. And it becomes home relatively quickly. A home to go. There's nothing like it. It is first a shelter. Home is first a shelter. It's a place of physical warmth. It's a place where we, up there, where we kind of mark our turf. It's a place where we are fed. It's a place where we can just be. And home is a concept that moves out from the beginning. A home is often for us a small plot of land. For us, it's only about 650 square meters in a Hopi. Some of you might have a little bit more. Some of you might even have a little bit less. But it's a small plot of land, and that small plot of land is an address that becomes a neighborhood, doesn't it? Then it becomes a town or a city, and then a province, and then ultimately a nation. All homes reside within a space and a place that is and was and always will be a gift from God. You know, if you want to cause a people or a person to be disorientated, you want to cause a person or a people to be feel insecure or fearful or anxious, what do? Take away their homes. So many people in this world have no home. So many people have been forced to leave their home. In a world where so many people refuse to welcome others into their place that they call home, and where people even refuse to acknowledge someone's human rights to a home, the notion of home and what home means is highly contestable today, and it is under siege. But we who are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, we who are followers of Jesus, are different than this, aren't we? We believe that everyone should have a home. We are different. We view the world differently. We view people differently. We look at them and see them as Jesus sees them. Loved, special, created, purposeful. And because home and place matter to God, home and place should matter to us. They matter to the one who chose to make his home amongst us. So it matters to us because it matters to God. Let's face it, we all need a home. We all need a place that we can say, this is it. There is this beautiful passage of scripture in John 14 that was read out this morning beautifully, but I'd love to read it out again. And I love using this scripture in the context of the living and not always at a funeral, because I think it's really important. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. John 14. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. I hope you notice the tenderness in this passage. The disciples' world, if you read before John 14, the disciples' world is about to collapse. Everything that they had known of Jesus in the last 3 years, everything that they believed Jesus would be, the hope that they had put into Jesus was coming to a point where they were questioning it. Jesus had just talked to him about his betrayal and his departure. They were leaving, that he was leaving, and their hearts were troubled. And what does Jesus say first? He says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. He doesn't dismiss their fear. He meets it with promise. My Father's house has many rooms. Have you ever noticed this? That Jesus connects a troubled heart. Jesus connects anxiousness. And he gives the medicine for that, and that is a home that's being created for you. So here was a troubled people, and the first thing he says, do not be troubled because I have a place for you. I have a grounding for you. I think, and I know actually, that I come from a good home. I think I have given my children a good home. And I think my children's children are living in good homes. I think we have a good home. But I still get anxious at times. Anyone else like that? I still worry at times. Not always. And always there's this desire for me to be home. And perhaps more so. I'm increasingly surprised as I've got older. I've been married with Joss for 41 years last week. But as I've got older, I thought I would get less homesick. But I get way more homesick. After about being a week up in the Marlborough Sounds, I'm just hanging out for home. I haven't been at my home since Thursday night. And I was meant to stay the night tonight in Kiikia on Sunday, but I'm not. I'm going to go home. But part of it is because it's kind of like my warm slippers, you know. And it's also a part of the place where if I am concerned, if I am anxious, when I get home, it's kind of like I slip into that space where I don't have to be. It's kind of like a sanctuary to me. And so I value my home, mainly because Joss is there, but also I value my home because it's comfortable. It's a place that we've made it. The physical environment of it is comfy. But yet, I still get anxious. But it makes me think about those who don't have a home and how much more anxious they are. What do they do with their anxiety? Those people who have been kicked out of their homes, be refugees because of war. Imagine the anxiety that they must feel. And I can imagine that because I know the first world problem I have of being away from home, but knowing full well that in a heartbeat I can get back there. It's surprising, as I mentioned before, when I put the tent up on top of the mountains, how my worry about the week drops. Just seeing the tent, seeing the place. Okay, if it's going to rain, I'll be dry for a while anyway. In the original wording of Jesus' words, the idea that Jesus is trying to portray to his disciples is of a large family home with plenty of space, that there's room for everyone. That Jesus here isn't preparing a hotel for strangers. He's making space in the family home. He's not sending an angel or a contractor to build this. He himself is going to prepare it for us. Jesus is personally invested. Why is Jesus personally invested? Because he knows the importance of home. He knows the importance of what it is. So when we establish homes, not just the bricks and mortars, but when we establish homes for our families and for others, as imperfect as they can be because of our human nature, what we are doing is we are showing something, though, of the kingdom of God to those around us. A taste. We are giving people a taste of what is to come. So when we establish our home, when we establish a place of security, when anxiety can be reduced slightly, where love is prevalent, where acceptance is prevalent, where unconditional love is part of the nature of that home, when we establish that, we are showing something of the kingdom of God to the world around us. Isn't that a challenge? Isn't that also wonderful? Isn't that what it is to be ambassadors of reconciliation? Friends, no matter how unstable your earthly home is, or housing is, interest rates, earthquakes, family breakdowns. We had to be sent out of our home a few weeks back when that storm came through. We were evacuated. John 14 says this. Doesn't matter what happens to your earthly house, to your earthly home, your eternal home is rock solid. Because Jesus is building it. And he doesn't just buy it off the plans. He's crafting it with his nail-pierced hands. And one day he will come back and take us to be where he is. That's home. Perfect belonging. No more tears. No more rent due. No more loneliness. You know, one of the last verses in the Bible in Revelation is this: and no more tears will be shed. No more tears will be shed. Let that settle our troubled hearts today. Believe in God. Believe also in Jesus. Your home is being prepared. So because of that, we are asked, we are tasked to build good homes here. Because when we do that, we give a taste to the world around us of what Jesus offers in eternity. His kingdom, his neighborhood, his address, and a room in his home that is being created for us. Let's look at this passage here. Sorry, I keep jumping. No, that's the one that I just did. Okay, let me keep going. Interest rates, done that one, eh? Back to here. Jesus didn't just prepare a place for the disciples. Sorry, I'm really jumping around here. I want us to open a passage of scripture in Ephesians 2, 19 to 21. This is it. This is where I'm up to. Ephesians 2, 19 to 21. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. I read this with the context of building and the context of homes, and I sense this homely feel about it. To me, it's a passage of comfort and acceptance. It gives us the foundations of what our home is to be. Christ is the cornerstone. This is the homes that we build, yes. There are homes that we build, yes, out of bricks and mortar. But the ultimate of home is when our heart rests in Jesus Christ. And our family rests in Jesus Christ. And we are built together in a dwelling place for God. And our home is where God resides. When we build our homes, we replicate what Jesus is doing in eternity. We show generosity when we open our homes. And I think I've mentioned these words before in the sermon here. We show hospitality when we open our homes. We show love and we show reconciliation. All things that are needed in our earthly home, we see in Jesus. Be like him. Build a home that is a place for us, but build a home that is also a place for others. Jesus says this, I build a home, many rooms in my Father's house. And it's a place of hospitality and it's a place of care. Jesus didn't just prepare a place for his disciples. His mission was bigger than that. Remember, right before this upper room discourse, he washed their feet and he said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Can you remember what he said in Luke chapter 4? He said this, I have come to set the captives free. If Jesus builds for us, then I think this, we are called to build for others. What can we do? Let me say this, building physical homes is problematic in earthly. There's problems and it just costs a huge amount of money, doesn't it? But maybe we can do some part in building homes. Maybe we could support those without stable homes. Housing, physical housing is tough in Aotearoa. Maybe we could, as followers of Jesus, practically partner with organizations, give generously, advocate wisely, or simply help a neighbor with the repairs on their home. Could we do that? Could that be something that we could do to replicate what Jesus says in John 14? Support those without stable homes. Maybe we could build spiritual homes. Disciple our children. Mentor young believers. Help new Christians grow as they're not left as spiritual orphans. Every small group, every youth night, every Bible study is about building our homes but it's about building rooms in God's house. Maybe we could rebuild broken homes through counseling, forgiveness, reconciliation, or being present in crises. Some of you have stories of God restoring your marriage or family. Share these stories and give hope. Share your stories of how Jesus has reconciled you and restored you, and that in Jesus you have a home. You have a place to be. You have that sense of security. Welcome people into this family. I love chatting to a couple of your welcomers today, and they just wanted to serve. Chloe, it was Chloe, eh? Sorry, I didn't get your name, but I saw Chloe's name. Chloe had the smile on her face. You know, welcome people into the family. Evangelism is home building. Mission is home building. Ātahi is doing mission by building. Bangladesh, they're building new buildings for young people to go to and be educated. When someone comes to Christ, they gain an eternal home and a spiritual family now. The Bible says this, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Jesus went through Samaria in John 4 precisely because he wanted to reach the outsider. He offers living water so the Samaritan woman can finally find home. So the blind man can finally find a home. So the leper can find a home. So the homeless can find a home. This is the mission of Jesus. Church, Jesus is preparing your place. You've got it sorted. You don't have to do anything for your eternal home. Your reward will be entering into Jesus' homestead. Let that truth free you from anxiety about the future. Let it fuel you to build wisely here, strong foundations, loving walls, open doors. And let it compel you to help others find home both now and forever. If your heart is troubled today, if it's troubled about housing, family, loneliness, eternity, hear Jesus again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Some of you today may need to recommit your home to Jesus Christ afresh and new. Some need to open your home more. Some need to come home to the Father for the first time. But know this, Jesus' arms are always open. The door to his home is always open. There's a wonderful passage of scripture that said, all those who knock on my door, don't worry, I will answer it. I will open the door to you and you can come in. Jesus is preparing our place. Could we be a people to help prepare a place for another? How could we do that? To create homeliness in our community, in our world, and in our family. Something to think about. Let's stand together and let me pray with you, and I'd love to finish with the benediction. Lord, first in our prayer is we want to pray, Lord, for Ātahi. We want to thank you for the ministry of Ātahi over the years, our New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society. We thank you, Lord, for the activity they are in at the moment in building homes and places of sanctuary in Bangladesh and in India. But also, Lord, the homes that they're choosing to build in Christchurch at the moment. To create homes for people who may not have them at the moment. And in doing so, representing something of the kingdom of God. And Lord, as a church and as individuals who love you, who are part of the Baptist movement and union of churches, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts in what we can do to aid our mission organization do the task of renewal. Guide and lead us. But Lord, for us and in relation to this prayer, Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. Settle our hearts. And Lord, may we be a people who build homes that honor you. That they would be places of refuge, joy, and gospel witness. And Lord, show us how to help others find homes. Ultimately, show us how to help others find their ultimate home in you. Lord, may we be hospitable and generous. May we be open to your words. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us relieve anxiety that we have at times and worry that we have at times by realizing that we have hope, that we have hope in you building a home for us for all of eternity. So Lord, be with us, grow us, and may we go from here in peace, and may we be a people who build. Thank you, Lord, that you, the master builder, is with us always. And so, Lord, as this church leaves today, as we go and have tea, coffee, as we go and have lunch, as we go and spend time with family and friends or whatever we're going to do, Lord, I pray that all that we do this afternoon would build a little bit more of our home, both physically and relationally. And Lord, may we represent your kingdom. May each person here know the deep, deep love of the Father. May each person here know the grace and the mercy and the invitation that Jesus gives us to walk with him and to follow him every day of our lives. And may we be moved and filled again by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.